Hey, I'm Tony Perkins. If you're a small business owner, your life is busy. You can't be figuring out every little thing, how to bring in the next client, how to figure out payroll. You don't have the time or the money to have your own secretary to take the calls, but answering all of the calls yourself makes it hard to look professional. Here's something that's going to help you. It's called eVoice. Whether you're a business of one or 100, eVoice will help you manage all of your incoming calls. With a toll-free number, dial-by-name directory, and call routing tools, your business is going to sound like a bustling Fortune 500 company. Even if you can't take a call, eVoice will transcribe the voicemail and email it to you. And with eVoice, you can even try it before you buy it. Right now, just for our listeners, you can get a 60-day trial of eVoice absolutely free. Go to our website, click on the eVoice banner on the top of the page, and insert the code TPGS. Take charge of your business. Go to our website and click on the banner. Insert the code TPGS at checkout for your 60-day free trial. eVoice, a better way to connect.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. It's Tony and Gary.
Hello, 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 boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. It's yet another episode of the Tony Perkins Show starring Gary Stein.
Oh, ho.
I'm one of your hosts, Tony Perkins.
I'm one of the other guys, Gary Stein.
Yes, indeedy, and we are very happy to be with you on this lovely, lovely May Day. Hopefully, well, not May Day, but this day in May.
We are not sending out May Day.
May Day.
You might after you listen.
That's right. Hopefully not, though.
That was off to such a great start.
Thank you for pointing that up, Rob.
Rob Ford is with us as well.
Yes.
I'm just a knob jockey. So.
Well.
How long? We don't need to know much about that.
Yeah.
When do you think, in all seriousness,
yes, sir,
when do you think that our theme song will be as well known as the Johnny Carson Tonight Show theme song?
Don't know that it will ever be that well known, but I'll bet it's growing and more and more people know about it. It's a good theme song.
Do you think it's growing in leaps and bounds?
I think it's growing by leaps and bounds.
Okay.
Yeah. See, I do like it. But you know what's interesting? You couldn't write words to this song.
No.
You couldn't sing it.
No, you no.
It
no.
would be anything that you would write to this would be silly. It seems to me.
Yeah, and it's fast. You gotta like,
right. It's yeah. You got yeah. So it'll always just be our theme. I mean, da-da, okay. Yeah, the Tony Perkins Show now. With Gary Stein. No, you can't sing to this.
Well, you can't. Maybe Sarah could.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that.
What?
Because we didn't mention Sarah in the last episode.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We can't have a bad attendance.
No. Very good. First of all, welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Tony. He's Gary. That's Rob. And I was just pointing at all of them, so just so you know. For those of you who want to know how, if you want to picture it in your mind, you know how when you're listening to a football game on the radio and they go, and the Redskins are moving from left to right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can kind of picture that.
They paint the picture.
Right. Gary is to my front left.
Uh-huh.
Rob is to my front right.
Right.
Okay.
Do they know that none of us are wearing clothes?
I believe they assume that.
Yeah, they probably know.
Yeah. I mean, I am, let's be honest, I'm wearing a loincloth.
You are.
So, you know.
That's why from your side of the table, they don't hear anything clanging or banging because you're.
Do you have things clanging and banging?
Well, every time I move, there's something.
You're made of metal?
Either something's going on or I'm just hearing noises.
You do have some fake parts.
I do. Well, yeah. I have a fake knee.
Yeah.
And it's not happy.
It's not?
No, it didn't really work right.
Oh.
I'm the only person I know with a bad knee replacement.
No. I hear about this fairly often.
You know, we got somebody in my neighborhood. She's like 75 years old. She's a dog walker. She had both knees done at the same time. And every time I talk to anybody who had a knee replacement, they said, really, you're having problems? No, mine is just fine. I worked so hard. First of all, I destroyed my knee in racquetball, as you know. 40 years of racquetball. And I still play.
Yes.
Which is not good. And my sons say to me, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why do you do that? I need to finish, but I do think that I will at some point have to have the entire thing done over again because I can't. With all the therapy I've had, I can't get rid of the pain.
Now, how long ago did you have it? Because
almost 3 years ago.
Oh, that's it.
And I have been in pain for 3 years.
Because I was, so if you get another one, it's probably going to be the same kind of knee. They haven't changed. Oh, now they're made out of aluminum alloy or something like that.
I want it to be made out of knee. That would make me happy.
Yes,
but the big change, you know, there certainly will be a big change in what the apparatus is, but the biggest change will be the doctor.
Oh, not happy with your doctor.
Well, I liked him a lot.
Was
but,
it Dr. Vinny Boombatz?
It wasn't Vinny Boombatz. How many people know what you're talking
Our
about?
Our listeners know.
You're
Our
right.
listeners know.
We can't fight it anymore.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Which I love. I love that.
Yeah.
Now, you say you'd like it to be made of knee.
Yeah.
Do they do, like, can you take a knee out of a cadaver and put it in somebody?
I don't think that they do that.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Do you use both of your knees?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Don't look at my knees.
I'm just asking. I did not look below the table.
My knees are in good shape.
Yeah, because you never used them.
I never used. Well, see, that's the point. You are becoming a decrepit old man because you've been so physically fit all your life. I haven't done a thing.
You want to say that again?
I feel fine. He has a look in his face like he wants to punch me right now.
I can still take my sons.
I should say you will become a decrepit old man. Not
thank
like you'll
thank
become.
You. Yeah, I can't wait. Boy, did that make it better. I'm on my way to being a decrepit old man.
Welcome to the show, folks. We have a jam-packed show.
I'm Gary Stein.
Later on in the broadcast, such as it is, Gary is presenting. Now, I don't know about this because last week it was, what was the worldly world of Tony Perkins.
Yeah, which we're changing, of
which
course.
Which I failed miserably.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's the Tony Perkins even harder music trivia game.
Which you don't deserve because you failed the last one.
Yeah. Well, this is being prompted by...
You didn't even get the bonus questions right.
I think I got the bonus ones
right.
No,
you didn't. You get anything right.
Well, the listeners, you know, when we did the trivia contest last time, I think Rob solicited for, hey, what's your favorite letter?
That's right.
Right? And how does this work? Does the letter pertain to the, is that a clue as to who the...
This is so sad.
I don't remember how it works.
No, what happened? Boy, I really...
Maybe that's why he failed the first time around.
Because he probably didn't understand
the rules.
I don't think
lost.
He understood the premise.
Probably not.
First of all, the premise was to win.
That's right.
How are the letters... Letters involved.
Okay, it's very complicated. You want to write this down?
Yes, I have
the
a pen
letters
right here.
Are it's the first letter of the name of the song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that was the last time we played.
The last time we did it, I said on the air that I had only done A and B, and some of our listeners wrote in and said, I'd like to hear C songs, and I would like to hear J songs. So I came up with C and J songs for today because I like to serve, unlike you, I like to serve. Our listeners, because they're going to be with me a lot longer than they're going to be with you.
And let me just say this, as long as we're kissing
why did you
up
let that go by?
To listeners, I don't know.
How did you do that?
Yeah,
barreling
you know
right
what?
Through.
Well, you know what? Because...
I don't think you're hearing right.
No. You ever do this? I didn't hear it, but I just now replayed it in my head, and now I heard it.
I just want to make sure you knew you were insulted.
I was insulted. Isn't that weird, though, how you can do that?
Yeah,
I mean, it's like you have a little replay button in your head.
Yes. Well, I was always accused of not hearing anyone.
Can I just say something that I just remembered?
Yes.
We're 7 minutes in, and about 6 minutes ago, I said, oh, I'm glad you mentioned Sarah, and we have not gotten back to why I was glad you mentioned Sarah.
That's another replay.
That's right. That's was, further back.
There was something in the last show where you had a glint in your eye and you said, I'm going to use that, and you never got to that either.
Oh, I remember what. I can't believe I remember that. Oh, here she is. Listen to this lovely voice.
The road had turned away. I never thought I'd be here looking in the mirror, wondering how I got here today.
You know what someone wrote? I don't know if it was a critic or one of our listeners about the lovely Sarah Partridge, who you're hearing now, Gary's wife, talented jazz singer, that there is a purity to her voice. I think one of our listeners
I
wrote
think
that.
It's one of our avid listeners who is, I'm a fan of hers. I think it was Susan Abercrombie.
Mm-hmm.
She writes, listen, not
she
just
writes a lot.
Not just yes, and not just because she said something really wonderful about Sarah. She's one of my favorite people because she just writes really well. She's insightful. She says things that are worth reading.
She's astute.
She's very astute, she's got a great vocabulary. She's very smart, and I enjoy reading her comments. And I do think that she said something about the purity of Sarah's voice.
Anyway, Sarah Partridge, who we've had on the show, is going to be appearing live in Washington, D.C., where we do the show from, at Blues Alley, which is the premier jazz club in the district, on Thursday, June 4th. Two shows. Gary and I will be presenting Sarah, and you're all invited to come out.
It's like a coming out party. She's a debutante.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a cotillion.
We want you to come out, see the show, meet us, meet Sarah, hear some great music. And to do that, you want to go to bluesalley.com and make your reservations. I don't know how much tickets are, but do you even know how much tickets are?
I think tickets are $20.
$20.
It's not expensive at all.
Live music.
I think they're reasonable, and that's what we
do. Yes, they are. They are reasonable.
Yes.
Bluesalley.com, June 4th. It's a Thursday night. We'll all be there. Please do come out and see Sarah Partridge.
I recently read something on our page from Stephen McIntyre, who is gathering a whole bunch of people at a certain subway stop, a metro stop.
I saw that.
And they're all talking about walking a mile to the club.
That's great.
It sounds great.
That's
great. I'd like to walk with them. It could be like, you know, the Million Mile March.
Yeah.
Million Man March.
There was a Million Mile March. We love everybody. Thank you very much for doing that.
Can I just say a number is coming to me? It's just sort of in my head. 202-337-4141 for reservations. That is 202-337-4141. That number is in your directory. 202-337-4141. Gimbel's Shop at Home Service.
Gimbel's. Nobody knows Gimbel's. All right. Before we jump into the show here.
I thought we did.
Well, we did. You're right. Gary, on several episodes, has been kind enough to bring me gifts for some reason. Most of them are mildly insulting, but...
No, sucking up.
I have gifts for you.
Do you really?
Yes.
Why?
But now, here's why. Isn't this bag attractive?
That's a beautiful bag.
And I intentionally...
I might sell it.
I did not write on the card so that you can reuse the bag.
I can re-gift.
You can... Well, you're not going to re-gift. But you can
I can repackage.
The bag. Yeah, you will not re-gift these. I promise you I won't. So here's the deal. It's not a gift for no reason. When we did the movie trivia games weeks ago, I said you would win a prize, and the prize was going to be the movie of your choice.
See, that was the mistake. The mistake was you told me to pick a film.
Yeah, you never picked one.
But it's not like I didn't think about it.
Okay.
I thought about it so much. First of all, it's very generous of you, but you are the most generous and richest person I know.
Well, I am a billionaire. Kidding.
He's finally.
I know, that's the first time I've said that. That's not true at all.
He's finally drinking the Kool-Aid. So I really have given it a lot of thought because you don't want a film you're going to watch once in your life. So
right.
I was trying to think of what don't I have?
Right.
And what's something that is like an annual viewing? You know, like for me, It's a Wonderful Life is something we watch every year.
Mm-hmm.
I have those guilty pleasure movies that I don't get tired of, and I couldn't think of anything. I kept trying and trying.
These are movies that...
Movies? You said one movie.
Well, because we played the game twice, you get two prizes.
Wow.
These are both quality movies. I know for a fact that you like both of them. I don't know if you have them. I'm passing it over to Gary.
Oh, wow.
Now.
Wow. And it's heavy.
Yeah.
Mm. I think there are seven or eight movies
heavy.
In
it. Wow.
Well, there are two movies, one for each.
Why
game.
Only two? All right. I'm opening.
These are two great movies. I hope you don't have them.
Wow. I'm opening. Oh, my God. This is one of my... On the Waterfront.
On the Waterfront.
Is one of my favorite all-time movies. And because I have so many movies, I would have thought I have it. I don't.
Fantastic.
I do not have it.
Oh,
I'm
fantastic.
So happy because you shopped for me to be able to tell you that I
fantastic.
Don't have it.
That's
and
great.
This is, you know, you're so good at this because, no, really, because it's absolutely any movie lover probably would want to watch every year.
Yeah. It's one of the best movies ever made. Now, it's about a bygone era now.
Certainly.
You know, a lot of people probably couldn't relate to it, but for that period, well, it's a good movie regardless.
Yes.
I don't care.
Yes.
But what it's depicting doesn't really happen anymore and all that kind of stuff. But it's a great movie.
I've always remembered that this was the best film of the year I was born.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Well, now, let me
1922.
Guess. No.
Okay, go ahead. Best film of what year?
54, I think. Didn't it come out in 54?
It came out in 54.
Woo-hoo!
And you know what? If you ask my mother, I came out in 54.
We have a scene here, if you'd like, a little on the
From
waterfront.
On the waterfront?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it. What's the scene?
John Friendly, come out of there!
This is the end of the movie.
Friendly!
Yeah.
Come out of there!
He's yelling at John Friendly, Lee J. Cobb.
Yeah.
You want another trouble with you? You think it makes you a big man if you give the answers? Well, at the right time, I'll catch up with you. Be thinking about that. Now go on, beat it. Don't push your luck.
Wait a minute, you. You take them heaters away from you and you're nothing. You know that?
You talk yourself in the river.
You take the good goods away and the kickbacks and the shakedown cabbage and the pistol arrows and you're nothing. Mm. Your guts is all in your wallet and your trigger finger. You know that?
You ratted on us, Terry.
Mm-hmm. From where you stand, maybe, but I'm standing over here now. I was ratting on myself all them years. I didn't even know it.
Come on.
You give it to Joey, you give it to Dugan, you give it to Charlie. It was one of your own. You think you're God Almighty, but you know what you are?
Come on.
You're a cheap, lousy, dirty, stinking mug. And I'm glad what I've done to you. You hear that? I'm glad what I've done.
You know what I just noticed?
What?
We are sitting here watching a movie.
We're watching a movie.
We all got quiet. We all got quiet. Rob is showing it on his laptop.
Why do we?
Literally, you know forgot what? We're doing a show.
I'm really upset. He didn't start it from the beginning. How am I supposed to enjoy this if I can't see it from the beginning?
I swear to you, folks, we were all just staring at the laptop. But that's how good movie is.
You know, it's but listen, we've played music longer than that scene.
No, we haven't.
Oh, really?
So. I don't think so. Longest clip we've ever had.
I figured we were going to wait for him to run to Lee J. Cobb, and we did. Thank you. I mean, I knew you were doing something because you said, you know, he's cagey.
Ah, yes.
He said, you have Blu-ray or just plain DVD?
Yeah.
And I said, just wondering.
I said, I have both. And he said, but what's on your laptop? And the reason I know why he asked that is because I generally take the train down here, and I like to watch movies on the train. So he spent less money and got the regular DVD instead of the Blu-ray.
I looked for it on Blu-ray.
Did you really?
Yeah, but then I figured out.
Very sweet of you. Yeah. You're so much nicer than people know.
All right, now you got to open the other one.
Okay, here.
This one, I have a sneaky feeling you might have this because you reference this movie fairly often.
It's A Wonderful Life, I have it.
No.
I do not have Double Indemnity.
You're kidding me.
And
I can't believe it.
What's the remake
you
called?
You talk about Triple Indemnity.
No, Body Heat with Kathleen Turner.
Oh, yeah. What am I thinking?
And you bought me the Blu-ray.
It's the Blu-ray.
Why is it so fat?
Because
it's a limited edition.
It's the Blu-ray and the digital version, so you can download it to your whatever device and watch it and all that kind of thing.
Well, you can. Yeah, right. You can take a Blu-ray. And you can't download it to your laptop, right, Rob?
Some laptops have a Blu-ray on them. Sounds like yours doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
DVD is the way to go.
But he can. It also has a digital version. That means you can download, right?
Oh yeah, you put the disc in and you just save it to your computer, and then you don't even need the disc anymore.
Right. That's right. That's what it means.
Wow.
And there's a little book in there and other stuff.
I'm so happy. I don't have either one of these.
I'm so happy.
So on the next show, when you give me two more,
which ones
we
would you
might
like?
Be batting 1,000 if I don't have those two. These are, you know, wouldn't you know that this is the week I drove down. And so I can't, but I drove down, but I have my laptop, so I am going to watch them in the car on the way home.
Great. If it's anything like when we were watching on the waterfront, people watch out.
Yeah.
You don't want to be on the Jersey Turnpike later today.
You're very smart about films. I mean, how did you think Double Indemnity?
Because you do reference that every now and then.
Wow.
Yeah, you really do. I don't remember in what context, but I knew that's one of your favorite movies.
I love classic films.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. Okay, listen. I don't know if I ever said this on the show before. There's a job that I want more than any job, maybe except doing a podcast with you.
Mm-hmm.
There is a job if somebody would give me. I am dying. If you're out there, please. I'm begging like a fool. I have no right to be doing this. I don't want him to die because he's probably very nice. But I want Robert Osborne's job so badly on Turner Classic Movies.
Yeah.
That is the, when they hired Ben Mankiewicz, and I look a little like Ben Mankiewicz, except he's a lot younger, I thought, well, there's my shot. He's gone. But I thought maybe someday I'll run into Robert Osborne and I can just go up behind him and scare him, you know? And he'll have like a minor, you know, it won't be minor. It'll be a massive but painless heart attack.
Right.
And he'll just go and they'll say, they all at Turner probably listen to our show.
Yeah, they should.
Right?
They should, yeah.
So I know something about film.
You do.
I am dying for that job.
I think
that's the job of my life.
Now, here's my gut reaction to that. I know you would love that job. You'd be great at it. At some point, we'd hear someone off camera go, "Start the movie." Start the movie. Because your stories would be, "Oh, and this also has Burt Lancaster. And Burt Lancaster once, I was on a train."
Yeah. You know, but the good news is that there is a stage manager counting you down. You can't just freelance like we do here.
That would be a funny bit.
Yeah.
Where someone's introducing them and telling all these
stories. I'm not done.
We have a limited amount of time.
Movie.
You got to start the movie.
If you don't stop and leave me alone and let me talk, I'm going to tell them all how it ends. Thank you. Thank you for this.
You are welcome.
The Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein.
All right. I want to mention something that I saw this on TV the other night, and my mouth dropped.
Now, you've been teasing me about this for 2 weeks, and I got to hear what this is.
It's a TV commercial. I'm sure some of you have seen it, for Lotrimin, which is an ointment, I guess, if you have athlete's foot.
Like toe fungus on your toenails and
stuff?
That
kind of thing. That's what you use.
Yeah.
There's a commercial. Now, listen, I'm not a prude. In fact, I laughed at it. When I first saw it, though, my mouth dropped open, and I said, "I cannot believe this is on TV and as a commercial for Lotrimin." Let me set the stage for you, then we're gonna play the spot.
Please.
The commercial takes place in a couple's bedroom. I assume they're married. The wife and the husband are laying in bed. She's reading a book. She notices movement on her husband's side of the bed. And
at the edge of the bed or in the middle?
In the middle of the bed.
Okay.
Where his hand is reaching down.
Really?
And she looks and says, "What the hell are you doing?" Play the commercial. You can imagine what's happening.
Wow.
Those are the sheets you hear.
Whoa. I know what that is.
What are you doing?
She pulls back the sheets.
Athlete's foot can be embarrassing.
That's good.
Nasty.
But Lotrimin Ultra cures it.
He's using a back scratcher to scratch his feet. You know,
making those noises.
Yeah. But it looks like, because his hand is only as far down as his groin.
Yeah.
It looks like he's masturbating.
Well, no, I think no. Come on,
yes.
Tony. No.
Oh, yes.
No, it proves something else. You can get fungus anywhere.
Rob, you've seen... That's true. Actually, maybe it is
a
problem.
I hope not.
You've seen the commercial, right?
I have. It's while he's rigged this back scratcher thing, and he's added like another pole to it.
Yeah.
Not that pole, but another pole.
So he's white.
Yeah. So there's room for improvement, is what we're saying. And he's just rigged it, and he's at this weirdest angle, and he is using the scratcher to scratch between his toes.
Yeah.
And it is so pronounced, this athlete's foot.
Yes.
It is so red. It's right in between each of the toes. It's a great commercial. We'll put a link up to it on our Twitter page.
But the motion is like he's,
deed. Nobody can see what Tony's doing with his arm.
But you can imagine what I'm doing.
I don't need him to do that to know what he's referring to.
A little bothered by this right now?
No, I'm not bothered. I'm wondering if we're going to go have lunch.
Not just bothered, hot and bothered.
I just can't believe it's on TV.
You know what? I don't know why I haven't seen it. How come I haven't seen the commercial?
I don't know. We will put a link to it on our website.
I looked it up, and I don't know if this is true or not, but on the YouTube video, it says it's actually been banned.
Oh, really?
So I wonder if it's one of those marketing campaigns where they make it so provocative that it's going to get banned, but because it's banned, it gets more press for less money.
Well, if it's banned, you may not be able to pull it up from YouTube because they'll block it.
You probably can. Well, it's not so dirty that they can show it on YouTube. But yes, Rob, I'll bet you're absolutely right. This is what some of these guys do now. They present these ads that there's no way they can stay on TV. They let there be a controversy, and then you go looking for it online.
Then you know what? You know what we're missing? You know what we're doing wrong?
What?
We are not promoting this show correctly.
Ooh, what's your suggestion?
My suggestion is that we need some real provocative stuff in our Dude Walker materials.
Yeah.
And, you know, or we won't be doing anything really heinous. But
if it looks that way,
or sounds
think
that way,
or sounds that way,
and if it brings up numbers, who's to blame?
Maybe on our next show, we'll do that. Yes, okay. I think that would be great.
One more thing.
I want to say now. I texted Rob yesterday. You know, we're in communication with Rob Ford all the time as we're planning for the show. Hey, we need this element. Yes. Blah blah blah. So yesterday, I text him and I text him and say, hey, can you please try to find the Lotrimin commercial where it appears the guy is masturbating? Okay.
Yeah.
So now I have my new iPhone, Gary.
Yes.
And what's the feature called? Is it a predictive text where you start to write a word and it gives you three different words that it could be?
Autocomplete.
Okay. Yeah.
So as I'm writing, and you know, so anything you write, hey, Rob, can you, as soon as you write the Y, you comes up and your and yes.
It starts to make choices for you.
Right.
Yeah.
So as I'm typing the word masturbating, I realize that word's not coming up as a possibility. So as I'm getting further into the word, I'm just wondering, well, when will it, you know, because when will it pop up? Yeah, so to speak. It never did.
It made you write the whole thing.
It made me write the whole thing. So there's a little prudish thing going on here with the iPhone.
Well, it's not the iPhone. It's Siri. She was originally going to be a nun. And then when she got the offer to work for Apple, she changed. But she makes certain decisions on her own. And you're looking at
and
me
she
like
refused.
You're looking at me like this is the truth. And she says, I'm not going with masturbation. I'm not. I gave up the habit.
I found it very interesting that it wouldn't print the word out.
So this phone is still relatively new.
Yeah.
So I'm possibly the first person that you've talked about masturbating with.
Oh, that does not sound good.
And do you know what?
I'm personally flattered.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't be flattered.
That sounds
terrible. I'd be really uncomfortable. I might report him to someone. But you know what it probably will do now?
What?
Now that you've written masturbating, why don't you try it right now?
All right, let me.
Just put in M-A-S-T. And
I know how to spell it.
Do you know how to do it?
Okay, I'm going to write a text to Gary, okay?
Oh, boy. All right.
Gary, that comes up. All right. And then let's see. All right. Hey. Oh, wait.
What are you doing right now?
Okay. All right. Now the message. Hey. Yep. Hey came up. Hey, have, H-A, have comes up. You is right there. Been, B-E, that came up.
Are you kidding me?
All right. Now I'm going to start to spell the word. M-A-S, still no word. T-U, still no word. I've got mastu.
Wait. Aren't you spelling it wrong?
No. M-A-S-T-U-R.
Is it an E-R?
Is it?
Yes.
It's not you?
You know what? And we're not cutting this out.
I thought it was M-A-S-T-U-R-B-A.
B-A-D-I-N-G.
No, B-A-T-I-N-G. Is it an E? No. I think it's a U.
I think it's a U also, actually.
Okay. Master.
All right, it's a U.
It's a U.
It's a U. Okay.
All right, now.
It's a U as in your masturbating.
Right. That's how you remember it.
Yeah.
And that's a common grammar. They teach that in school.
They do.
How do you remember in masturbation if it's an E or a U? Well,
right.
Class, in masturbation, it's only U.
See, I remember that from Hebrew school.
They stroke from right to left.
Oh! Go, ding! You got a ding!
You got a ding!
Ding it! I don't care what you play.
That's fantastic.
That's the line of the show.
Okay, let me just say, I'm six letters in. M-A-S-T-U-R. So far, all Siri is giving me is master, which is not a word. Mastitis? I don't know what that is. And nasturiums. Okay. Master B, I put a B. Still nothing.
Okay.
She refuses to give it to me.
Well. What a way to put it.
All right, now the T.
The series at
Listen
least got some good
she
taste.
She won't look at it. I'm M-A-S-T-U-R-B-A-T. It can only be one word, and it's nothing. No options.
No.
It's not a bad word.
You wrote masturbat.
Right. There's not a bad word. Have you been masturbating? Nothing. And she will not write it. Look at that. I had to write it.
Well, you know, there's another expression that refers to stuff that you would do on your lawn. See if she would spell.
All right, that's my little pet peeve with Apple and Siri there.
Okay, I got it.
Listen, Rob, get ready to make a phone call for me. I gave you the number, right, for Matt Slusher?
Oh, yeah.
All right, as you know, every now and then on the show, Gary presents an embarrassing moment with the stars. What
an
other
annoying,
versions?
Annoying, horrible. Moment. Some of them have been wonderful encounters
absolutely,
with the stars.
Absolutely. Yeah. So one of our listeners is someone I work with at Fox Channel 5. His name is Matt Slusher, listens to the shows. Thank you for listening, Matt.
Slusher. Does he do the weather?
that would be good. He's a stage manager.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he has a number
Does
of different
Does he slip
jobs.
A lot?
No.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
He could work at 7-Eleven as they sell Slurpees right. and Slushies and stuff
slushies,
like that.
Yeah.
But he listens to the show, and the other day he comes up to me and he says, you know, I've got an embarrassing moment with a star. And I was like, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, what is it? He told me one line, and I said, whoa, wait,
hold
stop. I think we want to have you on the show. Can we call Matt Slusher, please, and get him on? So, you know, Matt is not an entertainer.
No.
He's not a big star. He's a friend from work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're calling him. He's actually on a road trip.
Really?
Yeah, he took his family, or at least he took his wife. They're in Norfolk, Virginia.
Hello.
Hey, Matt.
Yes.
Hey, it's Tony. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Are you in a location where we can talk?
Yeah, standing in the shade. It's breezy, and I'm not mobile right now.
Okay,
so.
Very good. You are on the show right now.
Has someone tied you up? You're not mobile?
That's right. I'm tied to a tree.
Well,
okay.
That's not
all right.
Good.
Well, it sounds like you're having a nice time.
Hey,
it's
Matt,
a beautiful day to be tied to a tree.
Matt, I'm Gary. I just want to say hi. Tony didn't introduce me. So
yeah, I was going to. Matt, are you in Norfolk, Virginia? Is that right?
I'm in Norfolk, Virginia. Yes.
And why have you traveled down there? You're following a band around. Is that right?
No, we're not following them around. Came down here to watch them perform and hang out with them for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The band Blue October.
Blue October. You've told me about this band. You let Rob is shaking his head. Have you heard of Blue October?
I think I had that hit. Hate Me Today.
Hate Me Today. Is that them?
Matt,
hate
are you
me
there?
Today.
Hate Me Today. No. Nope.
Hate Me is the name of the song.
Hate Me. Okay. Hate Me. Got you.
Yeah.
All right. So Blue October. And you live up here in Washington, and you've gone into. So I just want to say you have followed the band down to Norfolk. So don't.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of. We've seen them perform in a couple different places.
Right.
Up in Pennsylvania and New York as well.
They're in a nudist colony this weekend, aren't they, performing?
Why would they be in a nudist colony?
I don't know. That's what I heard. I read it.
Matt, here's what we want. Here's what I set it up. I said that that you listen to the show. We have these interesting moments with the stars, and that you started to tell me a story. Can you tell? Are you in a? What's happening? Is it windy?
Are you Matt, in a wind tunnel? Matt, come back!
What the hell is happening?
What's happening?
What is all that noise?
I don't know. The wind. How's that? Is that better?
Matt, you work in television, don't you? You know how things... Yeah, that's better.
I work with Tony.
Well, don't say that. was that a sudden gust of wind?
Is there a lobby you can stand in, maybe? Inside?
There was a sudden gust of wind, but okay. My back is to the wind. We should be okay now.
Okay, very good. You...
It's going well so far.
I am not running against the wind right now.
Okay.
3 weeks ago, this show was featured on iTunes.
And not anymore.
Not
Matt,
anymore.
Have you ever met Ringo?
All right, Matt.
I haven't met Ringo, but I have met somebody else who is very interesting.
Oh, okay. Is this the story? Yes, please tell us.
This is the story.
Okay, please do tell us.
I was working as a floor director. And we have guests come in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Some very famous people, you know, Jimmy Carter, Jeff Bridges, Bo Bridges. I met Charlton Heston, Tyra Banks. Well,
wow.
This one lady that came in, she was in her 80s. I think she's still alive and pretty old.
Yes. Yes, she's
she
alive.
She came in and she was a little bit late for the interview that she was going to do. So she was sitting down and ready to go on the air, except she didn't have a microphone on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as the floor director, it's my job to get the guests mic'd up, and she had a shirt that you couldn't just clip the mic to and let it rest.
Mm-hmm.
The microphone and the cable had to be run up her shirt.
Mm. Always,
so
always a
I'm
dicey
looking
prospect.
At her, and we have 30 seconds until we come on the air, and I say, can you please run this up your shirt? And she looked at me dead in the eye and said, you do it.
Oh. So did you?
I had to. The countdown was coming. I'm hearing 10, 9, 8,
wow.
and we're about to come out on the air. So
wow.
I stuck my hand up Cloris Leachman's shirt.
Cloris Whoa. Leachman?
Well, you know, she hadn't gotten any lately,
well,
and I think that she...
Probably not.
that was probably a highlight.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, as I was sticking my hand up there and clipping the microphone on, one of the other co-workers said over the headset, "Hey, Matt, what are you doing to that old lady?"
No.
And did she seem to enjoy it?
I think she did.
Did you get her number?
I think she did.
Wow.
Did you get
her? And she did not give me her phone number.
Oh, okay.
No.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of a, that I would call that a creepy encounter with a star. Because usually the women, they'll walk away. They'll do it themselves. They'll walk behind a wall or something and do what they need to do. Is that the first time a woman has said, "You do it"?
Yeah, that was the first time that ever happened. And wow. the last.
And the last. Wow. All right.
When you put your hand up her shirt to bring the microphone up, were there any weights like around her waist?
I think I know what you're getting at.
I think I know what you're getting at too.
Because she's 80, whatever.
Yeah.
How soon did you encounter
obstacles?
Obstacles. That's good.
The obstacles were non-existent at that point.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. When you say at that point, you're saying they come. Are you saying that they come and go?
No, I'm just saying at that age of a woman's life, the obstacles are pretty much gone.
Well, it depends on the woman, but okay. Well,
that's true.
My grandmother had a shelf.
Well, Matt, I like the story. It kind of makes me feel a little weird about Cloris Leachman. But you know what? You're right. She's 80 bucks. 80 bucks. She's 80 years old.
Everything with him is money.
Yeah, she's probably in her 90s now.
Yes, yeah. And for all you know, you were her last. That was probably the last great
escapade. That is true.
Apparently, every day she yells out, "Where's the floor manager?"
That's right.
"Where's the floor manager?"
Where's that nice
and nobody,
young man?
Nobody knows what she means. Now we know.
That's right. Thank you very much. Enjoy I almost said Blue Oyster Cult. No, who is it? Blue what? Blue October?
Blue October.
Blue October.
Yes.
What kind of music do they play?
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. All right. Rock
Terrific.
On. Rock on, Matt.
Hey, Matt, thanks for the story. Seriously.
Thank you, guys.
You can go back into the wind now. Bye-bye.
Matt Slusher.
Matt Slusher. I work with him. So here's the deal.
Yeah.
Because he told me that, and I thought, all right, that's great. Let's put it on. So, guys, if you know, Gary tells these stories. I don't think I've told one. But if you've got a story, if you've had an interesting encounter, and you're not in a windy location, tweet us at TPerkShow and let us know. And you never know. Maybe we'll put your story on the show.
Yeah, what you can do is say, "I have a story,"
mm-hmm.
and then we might private message it because we don't want you to put it on the Facebook
right.
page
no. Don't
or the Twitter the page. Don't give it away.
Right.
Just say, if you feel like reaching back, I think I have a great story to tell.
Right.
And this offer applies to everybody except for Marcus Serta.
Good point,
now,
Rob.
We prefer that the people who contact us with a great story to tell are eVoice users.
Oh, nice, Gary. Very nice mention in there.
Well, you think I don't want to make money?
Yeah, you don't, I mean, you don't have to be, but, you know, please. And again, on Facebook, The Tony Perkins Show, on Twitter, at TPerkShow.
Well, you know what? We have somebody to talk to here sitting in our studio right now. We have a special guest.
Who is that?
His name is Rob Ford.
Oh, yes, Rob. Please roll up to the microphone.
Ah, yes. Hello.
What does that mean?
Hello,
he's
hello.
He's in a wheelchair?
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
They call me Wheels for short.
Chair with wheels.
Now, as most of you know, we live an episodic life here at the Tony Perkins Show featuring and starring Gary Stein. And we have been through all of the ups and downs of
yes.
Rob's dating experience
yes.
through Date Lab and with Megan.
Yes.
And a couple of weeks ago, there were some issues where I think Rob wimped. And we tried to convince him to be more upfront and honest about his feelings to see if this is a relationship that can be salvaged. And am I portraying this correctly?
Absolutely. And so that the listeners know this. And so, Rob, I'm sure you realize this. You know, we are not in the business of exploiting Rob for, you know, It's not one of those shows. And that's why we wait a couple of weeks at a time. Let's see what happens. You do your thing.
We'll
There's
exploit
no
him every few weeks.
Every few weeks is when we exploit him, yes.
No, but we gave you some serious TLC a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, you did.
Where we both meant what we said, and we thought if you maybe give some of this a shot, it might be worth something. So we're dying to hear what's gone on lately.
Okay, so here is
what happened.
I left out an important detail.
She left the city.
The last time. Yeah. She's now living in India. No.
You slept with her mother and she found out.
The elusive mother-daughter combo. No, not this time.
Not this time.
So what had happened was when we left it, she had been very detached and I was having a hard time getting in contact with her.
Yes.
During this period of time, out of seemingly nowhere, I received a Facebook event invite from her to her birthday party.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I was thinking, this is odd. I haven't heard from her, and this is the way I hear from her.
Haven't heard from her in how long? How much time went by?
Well, I had probably been, she had been telling me she was busy about maybe once every 5 or 6 days.
Okay.
So, again, I'm not really talking, but hearing from her, but nothing was really said.
And not getting together.
Yes, of course.
Right.
So I took your advice, said, hey, you know, I'm looking forward to talking to you about a couple things. She had actually said that she was available, but of course, I don't know if she knew or not, but it was in the middle while we were taping a show.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I couldn't do that. So I said, hey, you know, I'd love to take you up on that offer. We were going to go do coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a coffee get together. And I'm excited to talk to you about some things. And she said, okay, well, this weekend's no good because I'm busy. This weekend being the weekend of her birthday.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh.
And then she didn't make any mention of her birthday that she had invited me to.
This is weird.
It is very
weird. I hope
weird.
You did. Here we
and
go.
Then and then I said, oh, that's right. It is a busy weekend. Your birthday's this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm just, you know, I wasn't trying to be smooth or anything. I'm just putting it out there.
Right.
And she's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you should totally come if you can make it. And I said, well, I'm not sure if I can make it, but if I can make it, I'll be late.
Okay.
And she said, okay, yeah, come if you can. So we get to that day. At this point, I'm expecting the worst.
Mm-hmm. Meaning like you go and she's with somebody?
Yeah. So it was at a bar. So I show up to the bar. They're in the back area. They had kind of taken over like an area of the party.
Mm-hmm.
And there she is. And so I say hello. And there's a dude next to her.
Mm-hmm.
And by body language, I knew immediately that was her date to the party.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, I went along. I was my normal, charming self, meeting all her friends, that kind of stuff. And she was with a bunch of her theater friends because she does a lot of community theater.
Mm-hmm.
So they were acting the way theater friends do.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy she was with looked like he hated life and didn't want to be there. I actually asked him because she didn't introduce him as, oh, you know, this is the guy I've been seeing. This is, you know, my date or whatever.
Right.
She's like, oh, this is my friend. So I asked him, oh, how did you all meet?
I hate when they say that.
Yeah.
It's my friend.
Yeah. How did you all meet? And apparently they were both just regulars at this bar.
Okay.
And then I asked him while she was talking to some of her theater friends, oh, are you in the theater group as well? And he said, thank God, no.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, wow. All right.
Wow.
Just didn't want to be there. I mean, the dude, I mean, he was super good looking guy. He had the douchebag pencil beard.
What did you say?
You know, I mean, just very good looking guy.
I'm shocked.
I'm sorry, the personality of a ceiling fan.
Wow.
So that was kind of tough, you know, just because it's like, all right, I'm not the best looking guy, but I like to think I at least have some personality. I like I'm fun to be around, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So far, you have not said anything to her about you yet. So I'm still waiting.
Well, I show up and this was basically me just to see, because we had already had, a date set for the next day.
Oh, okay.
To meet,
all right. Well, that's
good.
That's important information.
That's
I wanted to go and just have some FaceTime to get a scope of what was going on.
Pardon the expression, but get the lay of the land.
Yes exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Or not, as it were.
Yeah. So the next day, because and also she was hammered at that point. It was her birthday. So,
she was?
Yeah. It was at a bar, it was her birthday.
Well, they're okay.
Well, just because it's your birthday doesn't necessarily mean you get hammered.
Right.
I mean,
but
that, a lot of people do it, nothing wrong with
sure,
it.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the next day we meet up for coffee and she was, you know, feeling it from the night before, so she was hating life, so we meet up. So we start talking and I basically got like what I like to say, I got LJB
effed.
Which is what?
Let's just be friends.
Oh.
And she said, you know, we gave it a good shot, I think. You know, you're funny, you're nice, you're super interesting and fun to be around, but it never passed anything platonic.
Mm.
And I've actually been seeing somebody. I'm like, yeah, I know the guy you were with last night. And she said, yeah, he's a really good guy. I really like him. But we've been seeing each other for, apparently she started seeing him right after our last date before that.
Mm-hmm.
So she said we haven't really been together. We weren't seeing each other while we were still going on dates.
Of
and
course.
I said, well, it would have been nice to know if you've moved on, this kind of thing. Because I was being strung along, and she was saying, oh, you know, I was afraid of conflict. I was a coward. I'm so sorry. I should have done it. And then I'm thinking, well, why did you invite me to this birthday party? And she said, well, I thought that we would have had this conversation beforehand. And we never did because of scheduling it. Well, okay. And then the next thing she said, I'm not sure how to take this. And I want to ask your all's opinion because there's two different ways that I think this can be taken.
Okay.
The next thing she said was, I wanted to invite you to this party because I invited a lot of my single friends and I wanted to try and set you up with them because I think that you're a good guy and you deserve to be with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to take this. On one hand, it's a little slimy because you weren't good enough for me. Let me be charitable and pawn you off on my friends.
Can I answer it already?
And
do you mind?
Yeah, sure.
I think that she thought that she's doing a really nice thing as a nice person so that she doesn't have to feel guilty about this,
mm-hmm.
and that she does sincerely mean that you're a good guy,
mm-hmm.
that you deserve somebody, and if she does something that's kind and generous, she doesn't have to think about the fact that she just dumped you.
Right. I would agree.
I think so, too.
I would agree, but I would say that there's some good there. I think that I think part of it is about, I don't want to feel guilty, so maybe I can help you out. Now, I wouldn't take that part of it in a negative way because, you know, if these are her girlfriends, she is not going to try to pawn off some guy on her girlfriends that is not worthy.
She's going to have to see them again.
Right.
So it's not like she must think highly of you.
Right. I think she does. From what you're saying, listen, the whole, you know, when you move into the friend zone, as they call it now, and all that kind of stuff, it's never comfortable or pleasant. There's always some awkwardness. Now, with this relationship, there may have been a little bit of overlap, and ideally there wouldn't be, but there almost always is. And this sounds like a typical, okay, we went out a few times. It didn't grow the way that probably either you wanted it to grow. And so now she's moved on to this other guy. Although, let me say this. There are two things in there that are interesting. When you said that she said it never became more than platonic.
Yes.
Was she saying that her feelings never got more than platonic or the situation never became more than platonic?
She said she never felt the spark.
Okay, well, that's different.
I'm wondering if you're wondering whether the fact that she didn't feel a spark has something to do with you having trouble revealing yourself, and that if you had revealed your emotional life more than just your intellectual life, do you think that it's very hard to know whether or not it played a part, but you might suspect one way or other. You could say, I think that she would have felt this way anyway, or you know that you weren't that much of an open book. So maybe she doesn't really know you that well.
No, absolutely, 100%. And I think, and I blame myself for this because I wasn't physically forward mm-hmm. enough early on because I was trying to be respectful and a little conservative with it because I thought that's how.
But did you want to be?
That's how adult relationships are.
Did you want to be?
Yeah, but again, I didn't want to lose out on something.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
So, and I actually asked her, I'm like, you know, if I had done this, you know, would it have been different? And she said no, blah, blah, blah. Of course she was going to say no. But I think a lot of girls get wrapped up in the fact that they're always looking for the spark. The way I look at things, again, very analytical. There mm-hmm. are always variables in play
mm-hmm.
that cause the spark. The spark is not magical. The spark is a result, an effect of various causes that one or the other does. And I think when it breaks down, I think there's
even that sounds
variables.
That sounds a little removed.
Because I think,
but that's the way it breaks down. And I think
I think the spark is kind of magical. I think sometimes there's a spark even when you didn't think there would be a spark, or you're not looking for a spark.
No, but sometimes the spark can come later. It's not like the spark is always just right there.
Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes it is based on experience, and one particular thing kicks it off, and you look at each other in a different way.
Well, and I think when the variables are in place in such a way, it can appear as magical, but there's still factors that lead up to that. I really do believe that.
I would like you to take, look, you know what? Now you can chalk this up to a learning relationship.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Because we take something from everyone.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I would love you to be able to take, there's no fault. There's nobody's fault. You know, you didn't do anything wrong, and it just kind of worked out this way. All I would recommend is that in the next relationship, and believe me, there'll be plenty, is to try to act on and speak about the things you're feeling at the moment, and do not be a mystery.
Yeah,
There's one way to be a mystery that girls like, you know, and I'm not really sure what that is.
Right.
But there's they like a kind of mysterious quality. More than that, they like honesty and truth and feelings and right up front, and they want to know they're not going to get hurt. I think it took you a long time to reveal yourself, and I think that's fine, because maybe what you got out of this relationship is that you'll handle it a little bit differently next time, and you'll be a little bit more revealing about the great personality that we know you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is what it is about it, and I do see it as learning. There's a nice tag, though. It got kind of
lift off.
No. That's a little bit of sick pleasure for me out of it at the end. So apparently
you punched the guy out.
No. So apparently the guy that she showed up with, he was going to give her a ride home.
Uh-huh.
And she had her friend, and her friend was hammered as well.
Right.
They were having like a combined birthday party.
Right.
So he let slip that, you're going home with this guy. You're lucky. I have to take an Uber home or whatever. So I said, okay. And that's about the time that I left. I'm like, all right.
Wait. Who said what?
She has a friend.
Right.
He's gay.
Okay, right.
And so he was saying, oh, you're so lucky you have like your date to take you home tonight. I have to get an Uber. So I'm like, okay. I overheard that. I mean, because he was screaming because he was hammered.
Right.
So then at that point, I'm like, all right, you know what? We're good for tomorrow. Great. Nice seeing you. Happy birthday. Blah, blah, blah. I leave. I say my goodbyes. So apparently, he took her home that night and dropped her off. And he was apparently ridiculously jealous that I had showed up, and she was pissed off at he was pissed off at her, and he basically broke up with her that night.
You're kidding.
That's what happened. That's what she told me.
Can I get something clear, though? You did not go home with the gay guy.
No, and you didn't. I thought you were going to say like you slashed the guy's tires when you found out he was going to take her home.
It was a breakup night?
That's weird.
Oh, yeah, a learning experience for the next time.
Right. Exactly.
You know.
All right. This is interesting.
And that was not exactly, obviously, a match made in heaven.
No. Well, it sounds like this guy wasn't a good guy.
No,
he was a super good-looking guy.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
That she met at the bar, who had the personality of a wolf.
Well, and that's what you will often... Yeah, okay.
The people that will want you are the people that enjoy a challenge and somebody who's interesting and well-rounded, and you're doing just fine.
I'm with Gary. Reveal yourself a little bit more. But let me say this. There's nothing wrong to me with being a gentleman. Those first couple of dates, and because you don't want to come across as, can we do the deed?
You do that a little too well.
All right, Rob. We wish you the best of luck.
Good job, buddy.
That's the end of the Rob and Megan saga.
That's okay.
Unless it comes back.
So what I did say, we did end on fairly good terms when we met at for coffee. So she did say a couple times, like, I have friends that I'd like to set you up with.
Okay.
So
take her up on it.
You think I should?
I really do. Why not? If she's offering, why not?
Well, you have nothing to lose.
Yep.
That's true.
If it turns out she set you up with somebody, you don't like them, you may not take her recommendation the next time, you know? But
in fact, if this turns out like a romantic comedy movie, she'll set you up with somebody, see how great you are in that relationship, and get really jealous and want you back.
And then I'll say no.
Right. Just to spite her, even though you really secretly want her.
Well, we've all got that strain in us,
don't we?
The victory is way more important.
That's the problem.
Just win, baby. That's what I've learned here.
too analytical and too competitive.
Exactly.
All right,
exactly.
I won. I won. I didn't get anything, but I won.
Yeah. Speaking of winning, you don't win games very often.
Oh yeah,
do you?
We got to do this.
You
don't win. It's time.
You really now. Let's say this. We talked about doing another music trivia game.
Yes.
Not because you did so well the last time, you know.
Although I did well.
Well, Rob and I analyzed
it. The point system was flawed.
It wasn't flawed. It was slanted in my direction. It wasn't flawed at all.
Two different things.
You came out even with no points. You know how hard that was to devise?
Yeah, I'm sure.
It wasn't easy. So this game is played the same way.
Oh,
you
great.
You get, okay, now listen. We said earlier that our fans wrote in and said, one fan said, I'd like you to do songs that start with C.
Okay.
And I'd like you to do songs that start with J.
Okay.
And we're going to accommodate because that's the kind of podcast we are.
I love it. Yes. I love it.
So,
do you have any game show music?
You're looking at me. I'm on the other side.
I'm Rob. I'm
sitting here with a microphone.
Music? Again, this is a game show about music.
Oh.
So there will be music.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll take
so,
that.
So if I don't know if you remember how the game works.
I know it didn't
It works completely in my favor. I ask you either. Mm-hmm. I say, here's a song title.
Mm-hmm.
Who sang it?
Right.
What year?
Right.
Did it chart?
Right. Gotcha.
Or...
And the year is within 5 years.
Oh, three.
3 years. 3 years. Three. Within 3 years.
Okay, yes, that's right.
So you get 3 points for a correct answer,
mm-hmm.
and then I adjust the other points accordingly.
See? You see?
And if you remember the last time, there was a bonus opportunity for your failures.
Oh, yes. Thank God for that.
And you didn't do well with those either.
Yeah, right.
I can't really remember which ones you got wrong, but in my mind...
I remember most of them,
In
really.
My mind, it was all of
if
them.
If not all of them. Yeah.
You know, and a lot of them, I think, were the
Very
Beatles, right?
Unfair.
And you didn't get anything
Very
right.
Unfair.
Yeah. So we're going to do a whole different bonus version this time.
Oh, okay.
Because that really was sad for you.
Okay, so this one I might be able to do.
We're just going to do a whole different version of the bonus this time. So let's start. We're going to start with songs that start with C.
Okay.
And, you know, I'll ask you as much information as possible. The first one, Rob's going to play for you. Song number one, here we go. Give me the title, please. I would think he would know it by now, Rob. How about you?
That's what I think.
Now I see places and faces. Things you ain't never thought about.
Oh.
If you ain't peeped, then you must be drinking and smoking. Pretending that you're smoking, but you're
Rob, as soon as you feel compelled to turn it off, you can.
Oh, what is the name of this song?
He's struggling. He's struggling. He's on the carpet. Look at him.
It starts with a C?
What starts with a C?
The song?
Actually, yes, it does. And there's more to it than that.
Can't Buy Me Love. No, I don't know.
Wow. So Rob and I had a talk before the show started, and we said, well, at least give him a gimme at the beginning. And you know what?
I can't believe.
This would be called See You When You Get There, Coolio.
Oh, See You When You... I wouldn't...
Yeah. Number 12 on the charts?
Yeah, I know the song.
What year?
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
98.
Well, 97. So 90, okay.
Okay, all right, yes.
Okay, woo-hoo! So you only lose 2 points. Because
it's like Jeopardy. You
because
it was,
known
it was a 3 point.
See you when I get there.
See you when I get. Yeah. See you when you get there.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So look, here's what we're doing with the bonus rounds because you're going to seriously, obviously need bonus questions.
Yeah, because I should have had. I feel
you,
bad about
you should
that.
Have had that.
Yes, I should have.
You know, I still give you so much respect in music, but I also gave you respect for being worldly, which you weren't on the last show. So here's what we're going to do.
These tests are very slanted against me.
No, they're just difficult. And I thought they were easier. So here's what we're going to do with the bonus questions
bonus,
this
okay.
time. Yes. They're going to be show tunes.
Oh, God.
But wait. But they're going to be recognizable show tunes, okay. I think, you all know, right. to a degree.
I don't know show tunes like you do.
No, you don't. So I was careful.
Okay.
I was careful. So if you can tell me, we'll play the first song, and if you can tell me the show it came from, then you're at minus two, you'll just be at minus three.
The Sound of Music?
All right. You know, anytime we can get that in.
The most played song on this show.
Well, because I think it's the song you hate the most.
I never would have guessed when we started this show, but it's the most played song on this show.
Okay, so this was this was another one of Tony's favorite white musicals.
That should bring me up to zero. It should bring me back up to zero instead of being negative two.
Since you're inquiring and trying to force the hand here, we're at minus four.
Oh.
All right. Now, we'll go to minus three because, you know, I'm scoring. Okay, so...
Which doesn't happen often, folks.
Ding, ding, ding!
Yeah, okay. Now we're at minus five. now, I need the name of this song because I really like the name of the song. It's going to be number four, and we'll play you a little bit of it. I need the song. I need the artist. I need the Billboard chart. I need everything.
Okay. I don't really like this song.
That wasn't really one of the questions.
Is it Baby Come to Me? Or is it...
I feel so sad for you. Really, right now I'm having a very sad moment.
Give me the list. I want to see what the song
is. No. It's got a really racy title.
Come to Me. Isn't it Come to Me?
No.
No?
No, but you're in the ballpark. Do you know the artist? You know anything?
I think.
Do you know your middle name? I mean, is there anything good
is
here?
Is it a male artist? Or is it a group? Is it Peebo Bryson or someone like that? No?
No.
Oh, boy.
It's not even Jeannie Bryson.
All right. What is it? What is it?
It's called Can I Touch You There? Who's the artist? Can I Touch You...
There.
Which is pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah, yeah. This is in the 80s, I think.
No, you're very... Wow.
All right, I guess I don't... I know the song. I don't remember
Rob,
the details.
Rob, do I need a new co-host? He was huge, and he had... He was all about hair, and ultimately, no more. But he
no
was
more
all
hair?
About hair. All about
his hair.
Hair.
He had a lot of hair.
Oh, the women loved his hair.
I should know this. I don't know.
Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton. Oh.
Number 27
on
the Billboard charts.
I'm not a Michael Bolton fan.
You don't have to be. You're Tony.
Yeah, I should
You're
know
Tony.
It.
You know music. You got a media room.
What's it called? Can I Touch You There? Can you touch this? Can what I? Is it?
I don't know. Can you?
Touch this before I die. No, it's Can I Touch You There?
There. Michael Bolton with the hair. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. We're at minus six.
I'm doing pretty badly.
Let's give him another. Let's give him a chance to just do something here.
Yes. You know.
Give me a chance.
Play number three. It's a musical. He probably will know the show, but you know the way he's going, it's not.
I need
Who
to.
Knows?
I need
all right,
something.
Here we go.
I need something.
She climbs a tree and scrapes her knee. Her dress has got a tear. She waltzes on her
The
way
Sound
to
of Music.
Yes. Yes. Wow.
Julie Andrews.
Well, that wasn't her singing.
Well, no, but who is a singer?
Can I tell you something, a trivial thing about that?
Yeah.
Well, that's the nuns, obviously, singing.
Yeah.
Does one of them is a name that we've talked about recently. Does the name Marnie Nixon mean anything to you?
You mentioned Marnie Nixon, okay.
So she's one of the nuns.
In the last show, and Marnie Nixon, two shows ago, is currently, isn't she currently doing something? I don't remember.
She probably is.
She was on a TV show.
She could be cleaning her kitchen. I don't know. No.
That's Marnie.
No, Marnie Nixon is the most famous voice behind The Voice.
Oh.
Marnie Nixon was Natalie Wood's voice in West Side Story.
That's when you mentioned her.
She was Deborah Carr's voice. In South Pacific.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, I got that one. Well, I'm so far, I'm good on The Sound of Music.
Yeah, you were at minus
which
six.
Which is the exact opposite.
You're at minus five.
What I want to be.
Yeah. All right.
I thought it was cats.
You know, I'm getting so upset I have to lie down. All right, let's do number six. Let's give him this song. Okay?
Can we just say something?
Yeah.
If I get this one.
Yes.
Where am I at?
I'm minus
at minus
five.
Six. Minus five. Can I be plus two if I get this one?
If
this
you
will
get
be worth
this,
7 points.
If you get this, you can be even. You get it just by the
fire. Oh, yeah. Barry White. Love Barry White.
Too much of anything is not good for
Turn
you.
Turn it up. Turn it up, baby.
But I don't
this
know
goes
about
back
that.
To the 1970s.
It's been a time.
Prime love making time.
We've shared love and made
love. We've had love. I've bought love. My first, my last, my everything? No! Can't get enough of your love, babe. Yeah, can't get enough of your love, babe.
Okay.
I love this.
Where did it hit?
Where did it hit?
Yeah.
It hit most people right in the groin.
Yeah, besides that.
Where did it hit? What do you mean? Oh, on the charts? I'm going
to
say.
I'm trying to use the jargon.
Number four.
Why don't you say number one?
Number one. It was a number one hit. Now, I'm going to say 74 or 75.
All right. So now you are plus two. Because it was 74.
Yes. See, that's my wheelhouse.
Now, you know what? Explain something to me. Because, okay. I mean, I get it. And okay. I really like Barry White.
Me too.
He cannot sing.
He talks.
He's just a very sexy voice.
Sexy voice, deep voice.
But he, you know, he's about as famous as it gets. The guy can't sing.
And I mean, you know.
And he was bigger than Al Sharpton at one time.
A man of girth. Everybody's bigger than Al Sharpton now. Yeah. A man of some girth.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was the voice. Women love the voice.
Yeah.
A deep voice. He could be talking about anything. And
yeah,
would
exactly.
Fall in love.
Yeah. I saw him in concert once, and
really?
He was wearing a sweater that said the Hindenburg right across the front of it. Yeah, and then he turned around, he waved goodbye, he turned around to leave the stage, and on the back it said Goodyear. Sorry.
That is cruel.
I don't want anybody to write in because they're insulted.
He went up in a huge ball of fire. That's his ending number of a show, yeah.
People yelled out, the humanity, oh, the humanity.
The humanity. Okay, so you're at plus two.
Thank you, finally.
All right, so here, let's go with number seven. He's on a roll.
Okay.
He's on a roll.
All right.
There's something, there is a piece of information from this song that was the same information as the last. Mm, go. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The breaks. Don't stop me. Grandmaster Flash.
Okay.
And the Furious Flash.
Uh-huh.
No, is that right? Grandmaster, whatever.
Whatever you want it to be.
These are the breaks.
Uh-huh.
Right?
You know, you couldn't possibly be any more wrong.
No. Let me hear this.
You've already lost. Just know that. Are you saying Rob made a mistake pulling the song? Is that what you're saying?
No. You're bleeping out words. It's not Grandmaster Flash. Is it Curtis Blow? All right, who is it? This is embarrassing.
It's Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy?
Can't nobody hold me down.
Okay, wait a minute, but it samples. No. That samples the song that I'm saying. You're right. The lyrics are different. Yeah.
Does it?
Oh, yes, it does.
Does it?
It absolutely does.
What are you saying?
That's the old song. What is the song called? It's like the first rap song. One of the first rap songs.
Rapper's Delight?
Rapper's Delight. Is it Rapper's Delight?
Moon Over Vermont?
No. It's one of those first rap songs. He completely sampled it.
Oh, and
I'm right.
And then
I'm
he goes
right.
into something else?
Yeah, he's got, those are new lyrics, but it's the old song.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
But
so,
did I play the new lyrics or the old song?
You played Puff Daddy. What's the name of that song?
That's right.
Can't Nobody Hold Me Down.
Okay,
that's right.
That is, he is ripped off, not ripped off, but he, well, yeah, pretty much.
Well,
if he did rip somebody off, how come you don't remember it?
I'm just getting confused right now. It's either, it's not Sugar Hill Gang. It's Grandmaster Flash, I think, and I forget the name of the song.
Well, but Puff Daddy took this to number one.
Okay,
so,
good for him, but he stole someone's song.
Good for him. It's like you know, nah. You know, what are we doing here?
It's like
we're doing a professional podcast.
It's like when Vanilla Ice did Ice Ice Baby. That was Under Pressure.
You're making it sound like he's Milli Vanilli. You know,
that is another song that he took and made new lyrics.
What
to.
Year?
I don't even know.
97.
I don't like stolen
well,
music.
Well, you know what? You you know, you've made such a noise
don't
about this
me,
thing. You're now
I'm close to the edge.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what it
you
is.
You are close to the edge. You're at minus 10.
No.
Can I have another show tune? I need a show tune.
God.
Totally unrelated to the last, please.
Yes, yes, of
give
course.
Give him a show tune and let's see if he can get something.
So let them bring on all their problems.
It's one of my favorite shows.
This is terrible.
I have confidence
from the Sound of Music.
Yeah.
I'll make
Yeah, I have confidence.
So wait
in
a minute. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait
what?
A minute.
What?
The
what?
End result of this is yeah. going to be that I have missed significant rap and R&B songs.
Yes.
And all my correct answers are from The Sound of Music. That is not good.
I don't think you're the man you think you are. This is
terrible. We're erasing this.
They might, yeah, yeah. They should have called this show The Sound of Whitey. And
my least favorite movie.
And you got it.
Ugh.
All right, now I need the next one.
Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. What song is that? What's that called?
I think you'd be the expert in this.
Yeah,
Skylark.
Know. No. That
My
song
romance.
Was stolen. That
My
song
romance.
Stolen. Okay, go on. What's your new question?
My new question is
yes.
I have to I have to reevaluate all of my feelings and thoughts about what Tony knows and doesn't know.
I'm reevaluating some feelings.
How are you feeling?
Well, I had a learning experience just a couple minutes ago, and now you're having a learning experience too. Everybody's
having learning experiences. Yeah, but don't you feel a little bit let down?
Yeah,
a little bit.
I feel personally. I got two movies.
Hey, I want
to. That's true.
I got two new movies. Yeah.
I'm writing out a couple of different things. I just want to see what this sounds like to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Tony Perkins Show featuring Oscar Santana. How does that sound?
Like a failure. It depends. I mean, I think it sounds like a decent show. If you want to have a hit show, I would stay right where you are. Let's move on to the next song. We don't need any of that nonsense, okay? You were at minus 10, you're at minus 20.
Oh.
You know, just for the insult.
I need a big one that can bring me right back.
You need what?
Let's get it
That
together,
certainly
baby.
Won't come from a white musical.
I can't get enough of your love, baby. All right, go ahead.
All right. Let's play number 9, please. You like the harmonica?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There are two songs named this song.
Come on, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let me take you by the hand. Come on, sugar.
How to ruin a top 25 hit.
This is called Come On, Baby. Does it start with a C? Yeah.
They all do.
The Can-Can. Candyman. Oh, Candyman. That is right. Candyman. And there was a bigger hit.
Yes.
By Sammy Davis Jr. called The Candyman.
That's right.
Yeah. Who is this one singing?
No, I'm supposed to ask you that. Yeah, I'm not being quizzed.
I almost got him.
Not really. You're being quizzed. I'm not.
Candyman. Ricky Nelson? Someone like that?
Ricky Nelson. Ricky Nelson.
Someone like that?
Yeah. Danny Bonaducci.
Who is it? Give me a clue.
Okay.
What's their name start with?
He has a major, 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 major hit song that's been covered by everybody that also begins with a C. Mm. We didn't pick that song, mm-hmm. but it's one of his biggest, and he made a huge comeback by singing it with another artist that was from Alberta.
Alberta, Canada?
Yeah.
From the last show?
Yeah. Well, that person was not mentioned.
What is with you?
But I just know it. No, wait a minute. It's not even on my paper.
Okay.
I simply know that he sang this song with
I have no clue.
You don't know the hit that he sang.
I don't know who the person is.
With an artist from Canada.
If I knew the person, then maybe I would know the hit. Maybe I would know the hit if I knew the person. Can I or the song?
And it's too good. You know, it was redone by Don McLean, but the famous one really that was redone mm-hmm. was by him who originated it.
Crying?
Yes.
Roy Orbison.
Who did he do it with from Alberta, Canada?
I don't know who's from Alberta, Canada.
She's of a
and they had it had a hit
she's,
again.
She's from a different club.
Oh, Billie Jean King. No, I don't know.
That's the club. You don't. So you can't come up with Katie Lang.
Of course.
And they introduced it on Saturday Night Live.
Of course.
And I didn't look this up.
Of course.
I just know
it. How do you know she's from Alberta, Canada?
I just know that. Mm. I just know that. I didn't
Katie
see
Lang,
it. I didn't look
right.
it up.
I had the club right.
Is your memory what it used to be?
No, I think I'm having some issues.
I'm a little worried.
All right, give me one more. And this will be for all the marbles.
For all the marbles? If he needs something for all the marbles, do we give him 11 or do we give him 12? I want to leave it up to you. 11 has significance. 12, he couldn't get wrong if he was mentally challenged.
I think we should do number 12.
Oh, yeah. Car wash. Yeah, baby. Rolls Royce. I'm going to say, I'm going to go back to that same time frame. Ooh, might be a couple of years later. 76. 75.
77.
77, all right.
Right. Okay, where did it chart?
Where did it chart? In Billboard magazine.
Yes.
I think this went number one.
It went number one.
Yes!
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
Yes.
Thank God.
But you know what, Rob? You know what I'm thinking?
What's that?
For really playing so pathetically.
Yes.
And I don't know if he has any points at all. He probably needs to hear one more song. In the bonus round.
Bonus round, yeah, give me a bonus round.
To see whether or not he can actually get something right.
Okay.
Well, maybe even to make up for last week as well.
Yes, I need some kind of bonus.
You can't make up for last week.
But that was a good one. I got that one.
Yeah,
that was good.
Did.
Yeah. All right.
All right, here we go.
Tough one.
Show tune.
Okay.
Okay, think back. Maybe it's a different time period.
Okay.
Maybe
different era.
Any possible show tune.
Any possible.
From any possible. If the show was on Broadway, this could be from that show.
It could be Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Tim Rice.
It could be Tim Rice.
It's hard at the very beginning. A very good place to start. When you read, you begin with
A, B, C.
When you sing, you begin with Do, Re, Mi.
I'm going to give you extra points just for listening to it longer.
Do, Re, Mi. The first three notes just happen.
Who's singing?
To be Do, Re, Mi.
What's the name of the song, the show?
Do, Re, Mi.
The singer is Puff Daddy.
Yes. You're right.
The song is Ho Ray Me. And, it's from The Sound of Music.
Wow. You know what? Because he gave it a little extra.
Ah.
He was at minus 20. I think like the original music trivia show, he's back to zero.
Oh, ah! Yeah!
Go ahead. All right.
That is a win.
Wow.
That's a win.
Wow. You know, who says you're not good at this?
You know? I'm not good at it. I say I'm not good at it. That was tough.
You know, this does surprise me because we started with Coolio.
Coolio, yeah.
And we, you know, I had a Marvin Gaye song we didn't go to, but we had a Puff Daddy song.
And I was confused by that because it's a ripoff.
Yeah. Okay. if I give you a title,
okay.
I'm curious whether or not you can give this to me because it was number 19.
Okay.
It was called "Can I Get a
Witness."
No, the song is "Can I Get a."
That's it. That's the name of
the song.
Oh, I don't know. What year is that?
99.
Can I get a
number 19 on the charts?
Don't know who that is.
Jay-Z.
Okay, you know what's happening here?
What's happening here?
This is around...
You're failing.
But this is around a period of time where I started kind of losing interest. And
were you doing drugs in the 90s?
No. I was kind of losing interest in...
In music?
Not in music, but in current music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's where I am now.
Yeah, I started losing interest.
Yeah, I mean, if you asked me, really, if you gave me a test about anything that's going on in the last 10 years,
yeah.
I'm afraid that I have no clue.
I'm actually better now. There's, you know what? There's a gap in my knowledge because I lost interest. I'm better now because Connor is around and listens to a lot of the current music.
Ah.
So now I know it better than I knew it from the 90s.
I know the tunes from Ben and Billy.
Mm-hmm.
Billy insists on when I take him to school, he wants his station on.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not on, he puts on his earbuds and he listens to music that is just, to me, unlistenable.
Yeah. So that's what's going on there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of what I was missing is from the 90s.
Right.
Okay.
Even though they were huge artists, they weren't yours.
But if I'm not listening, yeah.
But did you notice you didn't miss anything that Julie Andrews did? And I would say if we played songs from Camelot or The Boyfriend, which she did, or Cinderella, I bet you know all the songs.
Mary Poppins.
She was in Camelot? She's not in Camelot. Julie Andrews?
Camelot opened December 3rd, 1960 at the Imperial Theater.
See, when I were
and
in
Julie,
his wheelhouse.
I swear to God it did.
Okay.
And it was with Julie Andrews and Richard Burton. How could you not know that?
I don't know this because I don't follow Broadway as much as you do.
As much? How about not at all?
Not at all. Well, I know some current Broadway, Jersey Boys.
Look at you yelling at
the
me.
The Motown
Look
Show.
Look at you yelling at me.
Lion King.
Urinetown.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Book of Mormon.
No, the reason I came up with Urinetown is I've had too much water.
Right. That's it. I think we're done.
Really?
Yes, we are.
Let's do a show.
Yes, we're done.
Let's do a show.
We thank you all for listening. Give me those movies back. And
using E-Voice.
Yeah. And for using E-Voice. Rob Ford, thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
We wish you the best of luck on your next romantic endeavor.
Thank you. It'll be across the street after the show.
Gary, I'll see you next time.
I'll see you next
time. Thanks for listening, folks. Goodbye.
Take care.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere. People on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head.
The Tony Perkins Show. A more broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
See, I told you. Puff Daddy stealing old rap songs, getting rich off of.